And welcome to Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and Phil Condon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
We're going to talk about Syria and Burundi. They are both headline stories. We'll be speaking to Steve Sahuni in Latakia, Syria, which is they're experiencing quite a change in Syria. There's all kinds of big meetings going on that we're being told about by the Globe and Mail, the New York Times, thank you very much, and the BBC. But the most important business is taking place on the ground where, due to the air support by Russia, the Syrian forces have made some advances, and we're going to talk to Steve Sahuni about that. And then we will also be speaking a short while later to Mr. Tazira, who is a Burundian American. We need some background on the story there because, by the way, our foreign minister, the new one, Mr. Dion, he is the foreign minister, right?
Yeah, but they call it something else now, but yeah, he's the foreign minister.
Yeah. I like the old, you know, I prefer the 18th century when America had Secretary of War.
Right.
You know, and that was honest.
Yeah.
You're going to go to, you have to have a guy called the Secretary of War. We're going to go to war. We have a secretary in charge of that.
The foreign minister here was called the External Affairs Minister, which was an acknowledgement that what happens out there is external to our country. But now, of course, we have cabinet ministers who pronounce on the internal affairs of other countries as if it's their right to.
Yes. Indeed. And matter of fact, yes, to get us right on that theme, when we speak to Mr. Tazira, we're going to speak about this because there's been an attempted coup in May, and this over the weekend something close to that occurred again. Now, these are men in uniform with trucks and things, and they struck at three military posts in the city of Bujumbura, capital of Burundi. And for some reason, the Canadian government, the U.S. government, seem to have immediately decided that the problem is the elected president of the country and not the terrorists who, and I call them that because they at this juncture has no name. They attacked three posts. A lot of people died. And the body count is being conducted in Ottawa and New York. And of course, they're toting up dead that they attribute to the army, and they make the dead just civilians. Well, you carry out a coordinated attack on three separate military posts. You are not civilians. You know what you're doing. And if you get shot in the process, you're the first one who is not surprised. So we really don't need that kind of bunk coming from Ottawa, but that's what's going to happen. And that's why we need to talk to Mr. Tazira, because he's, of course, a Burundian and by origin, and he knows the background. So it'll be Sahuni speaking to us from, we hope, from Latakia, Syria. And in the second half, we will talk to Stephen Gowans, because he's written a new piece, very helpful, I believe, about the fact that a poll was taken by a very credible poll. When I say credible, according to the U.S. government, and they wanted a kind of an actual scientific poll of what opinion was broadly in Syria about the various political forces, and scoring highest on their poll was the president of Syria, Mr. Assad, and who they don't ever call. They always just simply reduce him to one name, but he is President Assad, of course. Mr. would be appropriate, but Assad, he's not. He is president. He has a title. He won it fair and square. And these other guys with U.S., Saudi, Turkish support have not been able to destroy his government, though they have pulled out all stops, including chemical warfare, in trying to bring down the Syrian government. Typical of Stephen Gowans, he's tried to be reasonable about this and to use logic. And he says, suppose you actually were interested in what the people wanted. Your own poll shows that he is the most credible and capable individual, according to the polls. that you yourself took. So so he's going to explain to us why they don't pay any attention to their own polling. I think we might have, and probably in just a minute, we will have Stephen Sehuny, and a journalist. And those are the three matters. We're going to talk about Syria and the news from Syria, and we're going to talk about what has happened in over the weekend in Burundi, and then later we will get some analysis from Stephen Gowans.
Hello.
Hello there. Stephen Sehuny, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hello. You sound fine, Stephen. Can you hear me? Hello? I hear me. All right. We're going to work on that. We're using this new thing, Skype, so the more modern you get, the more backward things. Another piece of the news on Syria that I want to touch on is that the reason we need to do this, over the weekend, and I'm stealing Sehuny's story from him, but I just tell you that, and I don't know if you heard this, Phil, but the city of Homs was liberated by the Syrian army. And go on YouTube and whatnot.
Spectacular footage. I mean, the people are celebrating.
You saw that.
I saw that. It's marvelous. You cannot fake pictures like that.
Yeah. And no. And it, the press here has not chosen to cover it. There are no photographs of this. And incidentally, the beauty of it was, it actually was a negotiated process in which the United Nations was involved, no mention here in the media about that, and no mention of the Red Cross role, Red Crescent. And so it's very hard for this story to be part of the new discussion, because you know we have these talks that are scheduled between the armed parties and some of their political spokesmen that are due to take place with John Kerry and Mr. Lavrov and others in attendance, with the notion that this will be resolved. But the Western reader, viewer, does not know that the army of Syria has scored a major success. And that obviously has bearing on how you look at things, because they have portrayed President Assad and his government as isolated, and they like to make it as though this thing is a balanced contest between two equal forces, and therefore President Assad has to step aside. But if he's actually winning, that raises for any party involved in armed conflict why they need to make a deal with somebody, by the way, who's as yet to be clearly identified. There was a meeting over the weekend in Riyadh, which in itself is Riyadh is odd. Today's Toronto Star managed to have an editorial about that meeting without mentioning that it was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, because they knew that it would be cause what they call cognitive dissonance. I think I hit it. That's the first
cognitive
time.
Cognitive dissonance, yes. First time you've used the term?
That's my first time, kids. So
there's a lot of that in the Toronto Star. I got that over
to the curb. I'm going to get out.
Right.
And because they knew that if you put Saudi Arabia in the sentence about reforms and the democratic forces of Syria meeting in Riyadh, the reader would say, I think I'll wait till you guys are making a little more sense. I think I'll just not bother. And if you want to check that meeting out, there are accounts of it, but there's some wonderful photographs, and you can go to the site of the man called the Angry Arab, the professor in California, who, on top of everything else, being a smart fellow and all that, he has a great sense of humor. But these days, his humor takes the form of showing photographs. So there's this meeting of the reformers, and the leader of the reform group of Syrians, who according to the Toronto Star should take over, is making a report on what they've concluded at their meeting. And he's standing in a large, what I'd call, cold, naked hall, and he's at a stand-up microphone holding a sheet of paper, and he's, and his audience is a bunch of princes sitting on couches, and that's who's listening to his report. So the Toronto Star is not going to share that with us. I think we've got Steve Sayuni again. Are you there, Stephen? Hello? Hello, Stephen? I can hear him desperately trying to get through. Are you there, Stephen? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Can you hear me, Stephen?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Stephen, you're in Latakia, Syria, and it's worth all the trouble here. We've got a little bit of a headache. Typically, technology is not easy to organize. Thank you for being with us. You're in Latakia, Syria. Over the weekend, we had news of something happened in Homs. What was that?
It was a deal between the Syrian army and terrorist groups. The UN was in the middle of it. The terrorist groups went out. Who wanted of them who went out was removed from Homs all the way to Idlib, the city of Idlib, and the north suburbs of Hama. Mm-hmm. But the biggest numbers of them, like around over 2,000 of the terrorist militants, surrendered to the Syrian army. And what happened, it was a deal in a neighborhood, a huge neighborhood called Alwar. And that was the last point that the terrorists had in the city of Homs. Little town or neighborhood, mm-hmm. it's free in the hands of the Syrian army. Mm-hmm. So that makes the city of Homs 100% under the Syrian government control.
I have read accounts, but not in the media here. By the way, I'm asking you the news because the Toronto Star, Globe and Mail, New York Times have not actually chosen to talk about this. I think they have a problem with it. I've even heard accounts that the Christmas lights are out in that city. I think I've been mispronouncing it. I said Homs, but how do you pronounce that?
Homs.
Okay. Now that's a major center, isn't it?
Yes, because the city of Homs, it's the biggest city of Syria, and it's in the central located. It splits Syria in the between the north and the south, between Damascus and Aleppo. So that's very important for Syria, for the business, for the trucks going from the coast, from the airport, from the port to the capital. So it's a very strategic area and very, very important.
Mm-hmm. And you told me earlier, I believe, that there's also been, in your region, north of Latakia, there have been developments. Yeah. What are they?
The Syrian army with his allies on the ground and the Russian airstrikes have taken over many strategic mountains and villages on the Turkish border and have opened and secured the highway between the city of Latakia and the Armenian town of Kasab. So after 3 years, yeah.
No, go ahead. So that you say after 3 years?
After 3 years and a half, that road was shut. Now the Syrian army freed that highway. Mm-hmm. The people who used to want to go up to that Armenian village of Kasab, they used to have to go a longer way. Mm-hmm. So the highway now is free and it's in the hands of the Syrian army. And you can say around the big, and the Syrian army have taken gained new territories on the border with Turkey. Like the Syrian army have shut the illegal path for the terrorists and take over very, very strategic. And they are gaining land day after day, and more victories happening as we're speaking.
Mm-hmm. At this time, there was a meeting called that is being reported on here. The Toronto Star today had an editorial saying that this is a wonderful sign or a good encouraging sign that the reformers have had a meeting and chosen a new leadership to represent them in talks. They did not mention that the meeting took place in Saudi Arabia and that they made the report on their meeting to the king of Saudi Arabia. What, can you tell us about the meeting? Who were those people?
No.
And what do you think is going to come of that group?
Number one, in which right that this kingdom of Saudi Arabia will have a meeting about Syria? Let them go put democracy in their own land before trying to send democracy to other countries. A woman cannot even drive in Saudi Arabia, so they better mind their own business.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Number two, all the people who went there is people, Syrian people who live in Cairo, some groups who live in Turkey, in Geneva, all around the world. Who are Syrians, who they don't like the Syrian government. They paid them money, pressured them, and they made them to go to meet in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to so-called moderate opposition or moderate troubles.
I think they're what some people are starting to call moderate terrorists.
Moderate terrorists, which they want to do a discussion while they were meeting. Mm-hmm. There are people on the ground or there are militants on the ground were shooting over, shot over 50 missiles on the citizens of Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
Which opposition does that mm-hmm. anywhere in the world?
Mm-hmm.
50 missiles on schools, hospitals, homes, shops, factories.
Mm-hmm.
Who will do that to citizens?
Mm-hmm. And I think you also mentioned Damascus itself, there's some news on military news, is there?
Yeah. The Syrian army took today over a big strategic area called Al-Marj. And it chokes the terrorists in Douma and East Ghouta. Like, it just chokes them. Like, they're in really bad shape, the terrorist groups.
Mm-hmm. Another feature, and I want to ask you about this, is in the editorial writing here, they've gone back to this insulting term, and speaking of the president, Assad, of calling his government an Alawi government. Could you respond to that kind of language that they use?
Yeah, 90%, over 90% of the Syrian government is made out of Sunnis.
Mm-hmm.
It's made out of Christians. It's mm-hmm. made out of all kind of sect. In Syria, we have 18 different sect. The Syrian army and the Syrian government is a mixture. It's not for one side more than another.
Mm-hmm.
And in Syria, and the Syrian people, the real Syrian people who are patriotic, they don't think that way and they don't speak that way. Their first loyalty is to Syria before any religion, before any sect. That's a real Syrian, how he really think.
Yeah.
And in Syria, we do not talk in sectarian or in religion. We all sect respect each other. You have here today in Syria, Muslims celebrating Christmas. You have Christians celebrating the Prophet Muhammad's birthday. It's that's how Syria is. You see a Christian family celebrating for a Muslim holiday and the other way around. That's how the Syrian people, we are not Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Go ahead.
We don't have that radical. You're a Muslim, you're a Christian, you're a whatever you are, you have respect and you have rights, but you have to obey the law. That's how we, just like how we, in Canada or America or anywhere in the world, there is respect for religion and there is freedom for religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly indicative that they held that meeting in Saudi Arabia, which is one of the places where they foster hostility and hatred by sect, and particularly are vicious when they speak of the Alawi of Syria.
Yeah, that's true. Saudi Arabia is a radical. Terrorists funds terrorists, killing the innocent people of Yemen, supporting terrorism in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Yemen, all over the world. The terrorists, if you want to kill, take away terrorism, you have to take away Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey. That's mm-hmm. if you want to finish terrorism. And if Europe and Western world want to live in peace away from terrorism, they should eliminate the Saudis and the Gulf and Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Noam Chomsky said, if you want to stop the end terrorism, stop being a terrorist, was when he was speaking of the Washington government. Stephen Sahuni, thank you very, very much. We hope to talk to you again soon, and we appreciate your patience today. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much for you, too.
Okie doke. Bye-bye. That's Stephen Sahuni. He's a journalist. He lives in Latakia, and we'll keep you up to date with Stephen's work, and we'll, I hope, be talking to him again as these things develop. But it's very important that there's success on the ground by the Syrian army. It seems to be established. It's simply not reported here so that the public, through its media, knows what's taking place and so can make an intelligent decision. Instead, we're dealing with first of all, no news of Syria, basically, except some demonization of its president, and then reporting on a reformist meeting that took place in the royal city of Riyadh.